Talk about our giving God and what a giving God that we have. I have a friend who is a lady in her 30s, and she and I are close enough friends that I asked her one time, we got to talking about marriage and the things along those lines, and asked her what has kept you from being married thus far, because she's a very nice lady, very attractive lady. She's had men who have taken her out on dates, that sort of thing. I mean, it's not like nobody wants to spend any time with her. But I asked her, I said, what has kept you from getting married to this point in your life? And she said, well, I have found that there seems to be two kinds of men in this world. And she said, I'm not being mean to men. I think everybody's this way. But she said, it seems like there's two kinds of men in this world. She said, there seems to be givers, those who give a lot and give of themselves, and those who are equally willing to give. And there seems to be takers in this world for men, those who just want. And she said, thus far to this point in my life, I have found only takers. And she said, I just have no desire at this time in my life to hook up with a taker. And I said, that's a good point. I said, I can understand where you're coming from. And that was her beliefs and her thought. And most people are kind of that way. It seems like you fall into two categories, or at least maybe somewhere in the middle for some people. But there are a lot of people who are givers. There are a lot of people who are takers. And I think you would admit, just like she did, you and I don't really like to spend a lot of time with just people who are only takers. People who only take and never give. We're just kind of that way. You know, it made me think a little bit about when we share our faith and when we talk about God to other people who are not Christians, and we talk about what a wonderful, how wonderful it is to be a Christian. And what it means to be a Christian, and just that sweet invitation of Christ. And sometimes I wonder if it doesn't fall along those same lines. I wonder, so many people who refuse and just aren't interested, I think they may fall into the same category as this lady, but from a spiritual sense, they are people who refuse to give their lives to God because they may believe that God is not a giver, but that God is a taker. It's very possible that there are a big group of people out there that feel, hey, God, in my mind, is only a taker, and I just have no desire to hook up with a taker. You look around at different people, and you look around at the way they respond to the things around them, and I think they think that they'll lose more than they'll gain if they give their life to God. And I just want you to know that if you're one of those people that somehow worked your way here this morning, if you're one of those people that are listening, whether it be by the radio or through an internet or something, you sat there going, yeah, I just think God is such a taker and not a giver. Let me just tell you, this lesson this morning is for you. Because I would like to remind you this morning that God is such a giving God, that He outgives all of us. And then if we'll just look just a little bit, we'll find out that God isn't a taker. He is a giver more than He is a taker. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. You know, I think a lot of folks are convinced that God's a taker and not a giver. And so let's look at two or three things as we go. If you've got an outline, want to follow along, I've got a couple of points. There are people who feel that God will take away some things, and then there are people that I want to share with you some things that God actually will give you. The first point that I want you to catch is that people feel God will take away their freedom. There are people out there that think, man, if I give my life to God, God is going to take away my freedom. And we are, as people, Americans, who value our freedom, aren't we? Don't like to be told what to do. We don't want our freedom taken away from us. We get frustrated when people come along and go, hey, you can't do this, or we're going to take this from you. And we automatically, hey, I'm an American. You can't do that to me. I have a friend named Tommy Stewart who lives in Sunray, Texas. And Tommy and I spent a lot of time running up and down the road as runners when we lived in Tulia. And Tommy, one of my closest friends, I looked over one time. We'd take his car some and my car some when we'd go on trips to Amarillo and go up there and run little road races for fun. And I always got to noticing when he drove, He drove with his hand on his seatbelt and would put his hand over here and just lay his seatbelt across his lap. And I asked him one time, I said, Tommy, what's all the thing with the seatbelt thing? Why do you get in every time? And, you know, I'd put mine on, click, you know, he'd take his and he'd lay it across his lap and kind of have to hold it to keep it from zipping back up. And he said, well, I just don't like seatbelts. And I said, Tommy, why don't you like seatbelts? I said, they save your lives. I told him, I said, I had never pulled a dead person out of a seatbelt in a car accident working as a paramedic, but I'd seen some that hadn't worn their seatbelt. He said, I know all that stuff. He says, I guess it just bothers me that they're trying to tell me that I have to wear a seatbelt. And if I don't want to wear a seatbelt, I should get to choose not to wear a seatbelt. And so his answer was, so I'll make it look like that I'm wearing a seatbelt so that if a policeman sees me, I won't get a ticket. And we talked about this, and I didn't give him too hard a time, but I remember one time just going, Tommy, just put on your seatbelt. You know, it's not going to kill you. But it was his freedom that he felt like somebody was trying to take my freedom away. And I can understand that. There's a lot of things in this world, may not be a seatbelt, that I may feel the same way. I just don't like people telling me what to do. And we feel that way about God. A lot of people do. They say, man, I don't want God to tell me what I can and can't do. He'll take my freedom if I will let Him. God will ruin my freedom with my friends. God will ruin my freedom with money. God will ruin my freedom with recreation. And that's kind of what we feel, that God's a taker and He's going to take my freedom. But you know what else we feel like? Sometimes we feel like that if we, not only our freedom, but God is also secondly going to take our fun. A lot of folks out there says, well, I just don't want God taking my fun. Good old knee slapping fun. Saw a bumper sticker the other day. Now catch this. Said all fun is either illegal, immoral, or fattening. And I thought, now that's a bumper sticker. Says a whole lot, doesn't it? And a lot of folks think, boy, if I hook up with Christ or with God and become a Christian, then that will end all the fun in my life. And we get fed that a lot. We see that on commercials. You know, you see the big campfire and the guys are out for the weekend. And it's a big Michelob beer commercial and they're sitting around and one of them makes a comment, says, man, it just doesn't get any better than this. Or you see some folks out at the commercial and they're, we'll put it in 70s lingo, they're getting down at the disco. I mean, they're just having a great time. And we look at that and we go, now those folks are having fun. And I sure don't want to give those sort of things up. Another bumper sticker one time said, let's do something cheap and superficial. And I wondered what type of guy would have a bumper sticker like that. We feel God's going to take away our freedom and our fun. You know what else we think God will take away if we give in to Him? He's going to take our fulfillment. You know, the old commercial there again that says you only go around once in life. I mean, if you want to go around once in life, why would you want to hook up with a taker like God? Why not go for all the gusto you get? Well, as we go, we find out, and as we look at the Bible, we find out lots of lessons about what a giving God that we have and that God actually isn't a taker. The only thing God ever asks when He says, hey, don't do this or don't do that, are things that actually are bad for us or might hurt us. The things that God wants us to do are the things that are good for us. A couple of verses. John chapter 8, down verse 36. We all quoted it together a while ago. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That is an awesome verse. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Notice it doesn't say if the Son sets you free, He's going to take your fulfillment. If Jesus sets you free, He is coming to get your fun. He is coming to get your freedom. Doesn't say that. He says if you will be set free, you will be free indeed. You will be the freest person in the world. Paul writes and says, I'm a slave for Christ. Slaves for Christ are the freest people in the whole world. God's children, you can't find them any freer. And then you get over to John chapter 10, down in about verse 10, and you find Jesus talking with a group of people who needed to hear that God's not a taker and that Jesus is a giver. And you get down to John chapter 10, verse 10, and Jesus says, it's the thief who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus says, but I have come that you might have, what's that word there?
Life
and have it more, what does your Bible say? Abundantly. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Notice, that doesn't say anything about taking, does it? He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Did you know that word there is the word for life here? He's not talking about afterworld life. He's talking about life here. He says, I've come that you might live here the way you're supposed to, and that you might live it abundantly. Boy, that's a good verse, isn't it? And yet some folks are really confused, and they think, man, if I give into God, He's just going to take. You know, the world seeks its freedom. But when you go to the world to seek freedom, you know what you get? Most of the time, you just get broken hearts. You really do. We could name names of people who have sought freedom and fulfillment and fun in this world, looking for the giving part that the world gives, and they have found heartache. Whether that be the John Belushis of this world, the Rock Hudsons of this world, the Anna Nicole Smiths of this world, and we could just go down this massive list of not only just public figures, but people in our life who have sought things in this world, fulfillment and fun, and they have found heartache. What I would like you to catch down here, the second part, is why people feel that God is a taker. What we find out from God's Word is that God is really a giver. He is a giver. And you know what He will give? Let me give you three things real quick that He'll give. The first thing He'll give is He'll give you freedom. The very thing that takers think that He's going to take is freedom, God tells us, I'm going to give you freedom. I am going to free you from the chains of sin. I am going to free you from the chains of anger and guilt and bitterness. And I'll tell you what, those chains are 100,000 times worse than anything God will give you. I don't ever want to be shackled to the ball and chain of guilt again. I don't ever want to be shackled to the chains of anger or resentment or bitterness. I don't ever want to be shackled to them old chains that say, man, you know, you're in big trouble. And if anybody finds out, you are just in deep, deep weeds. There's nothing like going to bed at night and being able to sleep knowing that God's in control of my life. And I'm putting Him first. And He's given me peace. And He's given me forgiveness. And He's given me all these things. He's given me freedom from confusion and freedom from fears. He's given me freedom to grow and freedom to serve and freedom to love. One author asked a question the other day in a book that I was reading that was a powerful question. And if you have to stop and ask yourself this question, do it, because it'll make you think just a little bit. His question was, his comment was, he made in the book, he said, if I knew that there was no heaven, there was no hell, that this life was the only life that there was, he said, I would still choose to live for Christ the way I'm doing now. And I thought, now that's powerful. I mean, if you knew that this was it and you could live any way you wanted, what way would you live? Would you still choose to live the way you're living right now? Would you still choose to put other people first? Would you still choose to love the way Jesus loved? Would you still choose the meek and the lowly and the humble? Or would you go down the pride route? Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. What a powerful, powerful verse. You know, I have met lots of people who have come from one side to the other. I was going to say, from the dark side to the light, they've crossed over. Those folks that have said, boy, I am never, ever going to hook up with a taker, and they have realized what God has given them freedom in, and those people go, I will never go back to that old way of life. Ever. I don't ever want to be shackled again by the things that once held me under. God will give you freedom. You know what else God will give you? He'll give you fun. Did you catch that down there? You might want to, the Bible calls it joy. God will give you joy. He will give you a spirit of peace. The picture I wish that I could show you, I've got a picture on my computer that I just love. And it's a picture of Jesus. Of course, not the original Jesus, but a picture of somebody playing Jesus. And he just is kicked back, his mouth is open, and he is just ha-hawing, laughing. And I love that thought. Did Jesus have bad days? You bet he did. Were there times when Jesus was sorrowful? Oh, yeah. But don't forget, Jesus also, I imagine, he could belly laugh with the best of them. And you say, boy, how do you know Jesus ever told anything funny or liked anything funny? Are you kidding me? Read your Bible. When he looked around at all the people and he told them, he said, why are you trying to get the speck out of your brother's eye when you got a big old log in your own eye? And all the people just laughed and said, that's just hilarious to think about, you know, this big log hitting people. Jesus was that way. A lot of his lessons dealt with things where you'd go, you know, he was trying to paint a picture. And that was funny. There were a lot of times when he did things like that. But we oftentimes don't think of Jesus as a person of joy. But I'm telling you, joy begins when you give your life away to God. You know, for the non-Christian, fun is external. It's on the outside. It's how you feel on the outside. What I can do that's going to make me feel good. But for the Christian, you know what fun is? It's internal. It's not external. It's internal. It's internal. And just like that old commercial, except for this time it's with God, life doesn't get any better than this. I've got a friend named Billy Sam Bogart. I like running with Billy Sam because Billy Sam knows how to laugh. You ever met folks that know how to laugh? That when they laugh, everybody in the room, not just laughs, they know they're laughing, and you almost laugh at them. Because they know how to laugh. Billy Sam can belly laugh with the best of them. When he laughs, you hear him. It doesn't matter what part of the house or what part of the church building that you're in. He can laugh. And I love people like that. You know, it's nice when we realize that God is the giver of true fun and true joy. Let me give you one more. God is the giver. Surely you figured this out where we're going next on this third one. God is the giver of true fulfillment. True fulfillment. You know, growing up, we all have an it. You know, the old eBay commercial, what is it that you're looking for? And it shows a picture of an I and a T. You know, for some, it may be making a sports team, whether it be a basketball team or playing football. To some, it may be a date with a certain girl or a certain boy. To some, it may be a new job, a college. But you know what it really is in fulfillment? It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it just doesn't get any better than that. God satisfies. That's what Snickers does, right? Isn't it Snickers that satisfies? Yeah. And then it came out with a king size. I guess the little one didn't quite satisfy it enough. Have you noticed that? And they got the king size, and you're thinking maybe they just weren't quite as satisfying as they thought they were. God is satisfying. Read Psalm 34 and verse 8 when you get time. David says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He satisfies. God is a giver. God is a giver. I have a friend named Neva. She is the preacher's wife at the church in Spearman, Texas. And she is such a great storyteller. And she was sharing the other day a story about a man with cancer. And it's a very touching story, very giving story. He was in the last days of his life. His body was tired. It hurt. He didn't have much energy, but he had plans. And his plans included something special for his wife in the last couple of weeks. And what little energy he had left, he mustered enough up to make a phone call to reserve a table at a restaurant. And he called a flower shop, and he got some roses. And that night when his wife came in, she said, "What do you want me to fix you for supper?" And he said, "We're going out." He hadn't been out in weeks. And she said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." And he got dressed, and she got dressed, and she helped him to the car with the oxygen bottle and the oxygen tubing that went around his face and in his nose. And they went to the restaurant, and they sat in a little corner with candlelight. The restaurant had helped him kind of prepare things with the 2 dozen bright red roses that sat on the table. They ordered their food, and he got so tired, he finally asked her, said, "Can we just take our food to go and go back?" And she said, "Of course." And so they took their food, and they put it in the boxes, and they went back to the house, and they ate it. And he was just exhausted. The cancer in his body just taking its toll. 2 weeks later, he was gone. And his 17th wedding anniversary will be one that won't ever be forgot, at least by her. She lives in some time right now of confusion and struggle. But as we got to thinking about it, and as Neva said, you know, $45 for a meal at a fancy restaurant for his 17th wedding anniversary, $65 for couple of dozen red roses, but a 17th wedding anniversary that she won't ever forget is pretty much priceless. And I got to thinking about God. 30 pieces of silver is what it took to betray Jesus into the hands of the Romans. Maybe 10 pieces of silver, what it would have taken to construct an old rugged cross. But God sacrificing His Son on a cross that day for your sins and for mine, pretty much priceless. Pretty much priceless. Because God is a giver. And He gave first. And when you look at it, you can't help but say, we serve a wonderful, wonderful God. We are so blessed. We're going to offer an invitation this morning, and if we can help in any way, we pray with you. If you're ready to become a Christian, if you're ready for some, just to talk to somebody about what it means to be a Christian, we'll do anything we can to help you. But just don't leave here this morning thinking, well, God's a taker, because God's not a taker. God's a giver, and He gives life. And when the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Let's stand for the invitation at this time.
To be like Thee, blessed Redeemer.